listeners, ready for round two? Excellent. This is our second installment of our exploration into the world of parables. We're going to dive headfirst into those eight principles designed to help us understand the meaning of Jesus's parables. Stay tuned to the end of this episode of the Bible Basics Podcast for today's giveaway item. Now, roll up your sleeves and let's get ready. Well, welcome everyone. I'm your host, Jackie Adewale, and this is the Bible Basics Podcast, where weekly we break down the Bible into understandable, bite-sized chunks. Like so much of God's Word, interpreting parables presents challenges for us 21st century students of the Bible. However, as I promised in part one of this episode on parables, we have some principles that can aid in our understanding. There are eight of these principles to consider. So let's go. First, consider the literary context, including clues before and after the parable. These clues form a framework, introducing and concluding the parable. They can give an indication of the original audience as well as some event that triggered the telling of the parable. At the end of the parable, Jesus often gave a succinct summary statement and challenge. For example, the parable of the rich fool found in Luke 12:13-21 is immediately preceded by someone in the crowd demanding that Jesus act as a judge between himself and his brother over a family inheritance. Jesus quickly responded that the man should guard against all kinds of greed and concluded the parable with a sober warning that they should not follow the greedy and selfish example of the rich fool, but should be rich towards God. Often Jesus preceded a parable with the words, "This is what the kingdom of heaven is like." Also, before the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we read this, quote, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable," unquote. That's in Luke 18:9-14. This introduction identifies the subject matter being illustrated, self-righteousness and spiritual pride. The parable message emphasizes the importance of humility, repentance, and the recognition of our dependence on God's mercy for justification. Second, identify the original audience to discern the intended message. This is either the crowd, the religious leaders, or the disciples, or it could be a combination of these. The identity of the audience will help indicate the message that the parable was intended to communicate. The introduction to the parable of the widow and the judge in Luke 18:1 describes both the audience, the disciples, and the intended lesson to pray without giving up. Third, we want to understand the cultural and historical context of Jesus' audience. Jesus told parables to ordinary people living in first century rural environments. The parables, in our contemporary, more urban ways of being, hold little that we can easily relate to. There are no comparisons using air travel, failed phone chargers, traffic lights, or investing in the stock market. To make the parables relevant to them, Jesus took illustrations from their everyday life. He spoke about people sowing seed by hand, using yeast to bake bread, looking for lost sheep, traveling down the dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and pouring new wine into old wineskins. These would all be familiar to his original listeners, but not so much for us today. Definitely not to me. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, often called Brick City. We didn't sow seed or have sheep. We did, however, have dangerous roads to walk down. Anyway, this cultural gap can cause a communication barrier between Jesus' culture and the people in today's Western culture, often causing the impact of the parable to be lost. For instance, when we speak of the Good Samaritan, it's so easy to miss the fact that Samaritans were despised, hated, outsiders. A good study Bible will likely have helpful notes to aid you in this study of cultural background. Fourth, we want to explore the Old Testament background of the parable. Jesus told parables to people who were familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures. That's our Old Testament. Many parables contain allusions to passages, phrases, or even individuals in the Old Testament, or speak about familiar themes. Most of his hearers would have immediately made connections between his teaching and their scriptures. For example, in the parable of the vineyard in Mark 12, 1 through 12, his hearers would probably immediately think of Isaiah's song of the vineyard in Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. They would know to identify the vineyard with Israel. A fifth principle is to identify the main characters in the parable, what happens at the end, and any surprise elements. These are often clues as to the main point that's being asserted. Many parables have three main characters: an authority figure, such as the landowner or the king, who represents God. Then two contrasting characters. In many parables, there's often a surprise element in that the normal assessment of the characters is reversed. So the more wicked is praised and the more righteous is condemned. The prodigal son is an example of this in Luke 15, 11 through 32. Here, the younger son is welcomed home by the father, although he's the one who wasted his portion of the inheritance. And the older son, who stayed at home and served his father, was condemned for his hostility. Sixth, we want to distinguish between essential story elements and ornamentation. In other words, not every detail of a parable carries a deep spiritual meaning. There are certain parts of a story that are essential for making the main spiritual point. But don't get hung up on details that are not intended to teach truth. Seventh, compare scripture with scripture for consistency. This basic principle of interpretation is invaluable when studying parables. Jesus' parables will never contradict the rest of the Word of God. It is God's Word that he came to express, John 12:49. So verify that your interpretation is consistent with the rest of Scripture. No interpretation is correct if there are contradictions. Finally, the last principle is that a parable usually has one main spiritual point. Don't overdo it. Parables are not allegories, nor are they overly complex in their structure or meaning. Many scholars believe that you should only find a single main point in a parable. Other scholars suggest you should look for as many main points as there are major characters in the parable. What everyone agrees on is that parables are not broad, overly complex allegories. Whew, did you get those? In summary, first, consider the literary context. Second, identify Jesus's audience. Third, understand the cultural and historical context. Fourth, explore the Old Testament background of the parable. Fifth, identify the parable's main characters. Sixth, distinguish between essential story elements and ornamentation. Seventh, compare scripture with scripture for consistency, and finally, recognize a parable's main spiritual point without overdoing it. In closing, it's important to remember that the only true interpretation is the meaning the parable conveyed or was meant to convey when first spoken. To grasp that original meaning, it's essential that we consider the eight principles we just went over. Now for the giveaway. Click on the link in the show notes to download an easy reference summary of these eight principles prepared especially for you. Thank you for joining me on this two-part journey through the parables. Let's approach them with open hearts and minds, ready to receive transformative truths. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to guide us as we seek understanding and inspiration to live out these truths in our daily lives. If you found this episode helpful, informative, or inspirational in any way, would you please share with someone you know who needs to hear it? You can do that by sharing the podcast website, bible-basics.org, or you can click on the share button right where you're listening now. For those of you listening on YouTube, go ahead and like, subscribe, and leave us a comment. In closing, may the grace and peace of God be with you now and always.